The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you into Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we are inside the Quicken Loan Studios here in Houston, Texas. And as always, we have got you covered over the next 2 hours. Tonight, our leadoff guest who is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line is, I would say, the golden voice of ESPN, who did a magnificent job, I would say, just a few weeks ago, filling in for the Splash Brothers, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith on First Take. It's so good to have Freddie Coleman back with us on this Friday night. Good evening, Freddie.
Good evening. How are you, Alyssa?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. Always anxious to catch up, and we certainly have so much to dive into. And let's start off our conversation with the sudden retirement of Chris Borland, his decision to retire from the NFL over health concerns and head injury. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, of course, like everybody else, I think I was completely surprised that somebody who really had a terrific rookie season and many people believe was going to be that next great San Francisco linebacker decided to call it a career after only 1 year. But the more and more I was able to dive into the story, you know what, you can't play in the National Football League and be in a half-stepping kind of way or having a lack of focus, especially at that position. And he was concerned about not only his mental health, but that he would not have the focus out there because he was so concerned about it. So I applaud his decision because I don't want somebody to feel they have to do something because society wants them to or their friends and family want them to or you feel that you're letting people down if you don't do it. He made a decision that he wanted to make sure that I'm going to do something that I really want to do and I'm going to be 100% committed to it. And at this point in my life, that's not the National Football League. So I understand why he did it. I applaud why he did it. And you know what? I don't think he's going to be less of a success for making this decision.
Freddie, how big of a concern should this be to the NFL, the recent trend of five players at age 30 or younger that have retired this year?
The NFL will take a look at it, but let's be honest. When you're that kind of behemoth, when you're going to make anywhere from 9 to 10 to $15 billion per year, part of the contract that the owners and players have signed with each other and the revenue that you're going to get from every network and people playing fantasy football, people betting on the National Football League. Mm-hmm. This is another glitch. This is another bump in the road of the National Football League because these players made these decisions based on what they feel was going to be personally best for them. And if they felt that was worried about concussions or from Patrick Wilson's standpoint, from his standpoint, worried about his legs and his feet being relatively healthy the rest of his life, the NFL will look at that and say, we respect their decision, but we know that the league is not going to stop because it continues to grow in popularity. And I know numbers are down when it comes to youth participation and youth football in this country, but there are going to be plenty of people that are going to want to play in the National Football League. For every one person that decides not to play football, there are 500 other young men that will say, I'll take his spot. I want to be a part of his spot. So the NFL, I don't think, is going to be concerned about this because they believe the players made a conscious decision and they made that decision on their own.
Yeah, there always will be a volume of players that will be ready to take their place. But what about the NFL fans, their perspective? I mean, should you expect more players to start retiring early than exposing themselves to this type of head trauma?
You know, I don't think so. And to be honest with you, and maybe we're different, but a lot of fans don't care. As long as you give them their football on Sunday night, on Sunday afternoon, on Monday, their thought process, I think, and I don't have the right numbers, I don't have accurate numbers, but I get the sense, Alyssa, that a lot of fans are thinking, this is what you signed up for. You knew what you were getting involved in when you decided to want to play in the National Football League and be a part of that. Just make sure we're entertained every Sunday, every Monday, and Thursday night football. Now, I will say this. I don't want to hear the National Football League talk about that their league is safer and you throw numbers at us where concussions are down over the last 3 years. that doesn't take into account how many knee injuries and leg injuries have been suffered because guys are going a lot lower because they can't go above the chest or anywhere near the chest for fear of being penalized. So the league is just as violent, just as physical, just as much a collision sport as it ever was before. But I think the casual fan, the hardcore fan, they're thinking, you know what, this is what you signed up for. If I don't want my son to play football, that's one thing. But that's not going to stop my love and from me from watching football.
You are listening to the voice of Freddie Coleman of ESPN, The Freddie Coleman Show, tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always so fun to catch up with him. And, you know, I have to tell you, this has been a big debate in the Campbell household. I'm the mother of two sons. We've got high-energy boys. You know, we've really encouraged our boys to pursue golf, and they've actually, you know, done very well, participated, in fact, in the world championships the past couple of years in Pinehurst, North Carolina. But our youngest wants to play football in the fall, and I hesitate with that, with just so much of the information that is coming out. And it's not something I can gloss over.
Right, and you shouldn't gloss it over, because when it all comes right down to it, Alyssa, that is your child that you have to worry about and maintain the safety of your child. I think any parent worth their weight in salt would have that kind of concern with the concussion problems that we've seen in not just the National Football League, but at any level of football. And, yeah, it comes down to trying to make things as safe as possible with equipment, but the head is not made to play football. That being said, we're seeing a lot more concussions in soccer. A lot of parents have had their kids play soccer instead of football. We're seeing those kind of injuries. When you're going to play sports, injuries are going to be commonplace. There's no way of getting around that, whether it's a collision sport like the National Football League, whether it's basketball. We've seen injuries happen in basketball. We've seen a lot more ACL injuries with young women playing in basketball. Mm-hmm. So you can't get away from the injury aspect. But I know if I'm a parent, if my kid wants to play football, I don't want to deny him or even her the opportunity to do that, because we've seen young girls that have a chance to play Pop Warner football in this country. But you have to make sure that safety is going to be paramount, and not just with the equipment, but a lot of the safety has to come from how the kids are being taught, how they're being taught to tackle, how they're being taught to block, how they're being taught to run patterns. And that starts not only with the parents, but that has to be with the coaches. And the coaches are not doing the proper thing, then the parents should speak up and say, hey, you're not doing my kid any favors because you don't know what you're doing, and I'm not going to have my kid put at risk because you don't have the right idea or have the right teaching and the wherewithal to make sure it's done properly.
Oh, Freddie, you bring up so many great points. So what do you think the NFL should or can do to be able to instill more confidence in so many of the families and the players to kind of put their mind at ease?
Boy, that's a really good question, and honestly, I don't know if there's anything they can do, because – the NFL knows a big part of their sport is the fact that people love to see people get hit. That's why boxing was so popular in this country from the early 1900s until the 80s and 90s when Mike Tyson was ruling the roost, because people like to see a barbaric and gladiator atmosphere when it comes to their sports. That's why hockey fans get really hot and bothered when people criticize their sport, because that's what they love about that
right,
sport, the
right.
physical and the violent nature that goes along with it.
Yeah.
And the NFL is not any different from boxing. It's not any different from hockey. It's not any different from having that warrior-like mentality, and people want to see that. They want to be entertained. To use that line from Russell Crowe in Gladiator, are we going to be entertained? Well, yes, we are, because the NFL provides that.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything that the NFL can do, because they know what their sport is all about. They know why their sport continues to be glamorized and fantasized by a lot of people in this country. They just have to make sure that whatever problems that they could prevent, they have to be proactive instead of reactive. And I think that's something I want to see from not only Roger Goodell, the commissioner, but from D'Amore Smith, who is the leader of the NFL Players Association.
How big of a hit do you think was this for the 49ers with Borland making this decision?
Oh, it's been like Groundhog Day, Alyssa, for that organization. Ever since Jim Harbaugh
right.
was forced out, and he went to the University of Michigan. Patrick Willis, he retires. Miller, their tight end, he gets in trouble with a domestic violence situation. You have Chris Borland. It seemed like every time you turn around, Trent Baalke, the general manager, and the York family are thinking, okay, what's going to be next? Because it has not been a lot of positivity with this organization in the offseason, trying to be the elite football team they had been for the last 3 out of 4 years, when Jim Harbaugh was taking care of things and making sure this team was going to run along. So this is another hit that they're going to have to overcome. And you have to wonder, how much closer are they to starting over instead of just trying to tread water than maybe a lot of us realize, or maybe that they realize, because there's so many things that you have to replace so many people. You're going to need wide receivers, because Michael Crabtree is a free agent, even though he didn't set the world on fire. You need to replace the leadership in that locker room, because Frank Gore's down in Indianapolis. Patrick Willis has retired, and Navarro Bowman, we don't know when he's going to come back. They're the other outstanding linebacker. And I still think the specter of Jim Harbaugh is over this organization, and until they win, and if they win, That's not going to go away from the 49ers.
ESPN's Freddie Coleman with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are up against the clock, and when we come back, we will get into some NBA talk with Freddie Coleman. Stay close. We are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We want to connect with you online. Join us at Twitter, at @eRadioSports, and always check out our podcast page at yahoosportsradio.com. Our very special guest tonight from ESPN, the Freddie Coleman Show, of course, is Freddie Coleman. We've been talking about the Chris Borland situation, and you just have to wonder, Freddie, just the emotions behind this, how difficult it was for him to make this decision. I mean, you were a college football standout. You really understand. I mean, your love and passion for the game. I mean, to be able to walk away and you weigh the risk versus reward. I mean, you have to wonder if he's a happy man.
Yeah, that's a great point, because Chris Borland talked about how much it was his dream to play in the National Football League. But I give him a lot of credit for having the strength to say, I'm willing to walk away from this. I'm not going to defer my dream. I'm going to find another dream that I can accomplish and make that come true. And I found out a lot about the NFL playing in college, because we play college football. They're not on planet Earth in the National Football League. They are really special human beings yeah. that want to go out there and do that. And he was able to do that as a third-round draft pick out of Wisconsin. He was not the biggest guy. We're not talking about a thumper of a linebacker, 6'3", 6'4", 260 pounds. He's 5'11", and that's stretching it at best, about 235, 240 pounds. But yet, time and time again, when I saw him play in college, I saw him play that 1 year with the 49ers, he was a playmaker. He was a guy that was able to get in there and make those kind of plays. But to say to yourself, you know what, I love doing this, I want to do this, but I can't do this if I feel that I'm going to physically injure myself to the point that I'm not going to be a walking human being, a functioning human being, when football is over. Because Bum Phillips, the late coach of the Houston Oilers and New Orleans Saints, he said, football is a small part of your life. What are you going to do the rest of your life, and don't define yourself by just being a football player? Chris Borland, in effect, has done that, because he's been so identified, especially to him, being a football player all these years. To walk away from that because you're worried about your personal safety and your personal health, that took a lot of courage for somebody like Chris Borland to do that.
Hey, Freddie Coleman with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to shift gears now, and we want you to weigh in on the NBA and, of course, the MVP race. Give us your, at this point in the season, your MVP. Who, what, why, and who is that leading candidate, Freddie?
I got two, 50-50 right now. Steph Curry of Golden State and James Harden of Houston, because both of those guys continue to impress night after night. Right now, if I had a vote, I would give it to James Harden, and I'm glad that we still have a lot of basketball lists left to be played, because I guarantee my vote will change tomorrow. It could be Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors. What he did against the Atlanta Hawks the other night was just fantastic, not having Klay Thompson in the lineup. And he didn't play that well early, but he seems to be more of a leader and will his team to victories when he's not playing well. And James Harden has done that. Dwight Howard goes down. We don't know when he's coming back from that knee injury. And James Harden is like, okay, that's why I wanted to come to Houston. That's why Houston wanted me, for situations like this. And you know he's going to get the basketball. You know you have to stop him. And it's very hard to do because he's such an unorthodox player. It has nothing to do with him being left-handed. He just plays at a slower style, but he has a very quick first step. Bill Raftery said it best. He plays old. He plays like those old guys at the YMCA where they got like the beard, like they're part of ZZ Top, and you don't think they can play. And then the next thing you know, you get 30-35 dropped on. You say, well, how did that happen? He is like a slow assassin where he kills you slowly with his ability. And the fact he's been a better defender this year, has shared the basketball and been a terrific leader. That's why I have those two, 1-2 in the race. I'll take Harden a little bit over Steph Curry right now.
And you have to wonder if Oklahoma City, if they regret letting James Harden walk and not signing him to a max deal.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because you look at the pieces that they have now. Serge Ibaka dealing with another injury. He had an injury last year that knocked him out for a portion of the playoffs, but at least Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were helping to get him to the conference finals. And then they gave a bunch of you-know-what to San Antonio in the first four games of that series before the Spurs went in six. But now look at the pieces that they have now on the front line with Mitch McGarrett. He's healthy. The young man out of Michigan, he's played well. Enes Kanter has been a godsend for this basketball team, getting him in that trade from the Utah Jazz. All of a sudden now, can you imagine having those two guys in the front line with Steven Adams, where you have a tall timber front line, and you still have James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook as a part of your basketball team, that even if you lost one, you still have somebody else. And with the salary cap going up anywhere between $90 to $95 million after the next season, you'd be able to pay these guys and have three max contracts. So I wondered about that decision when they made it. I said, yeah, I know Serge Ibaka is a big man. I understand the logic of making that decision. But guys like James Harden didn't want to leave Oklahoma City in the first place. Those guys do not grow on trees. And now Houston has the benefit of that with a big man in Dwight Howard. Now, if you're Oklahoma City, you have to wonder how many people will be able to stay healthy. And if you get into the playoffs and everybody's healthy, they're going to be a legitimate threat, not just in the first-round series potentially against Golden State, but taking out anybody else in the Western Conference.
Well, it's paid big dividends, and you just have to wonder, you know, if Harden, he just needed a fresh start to be able to establish himself, not under Russell and under KD.
Yeah, coming off the bench, he loved that role, but at a certain point, guys like him that had that star quality, that can make big shots and make those tough shots, you can't just relegate them to the bench for the rest of their career. At a certain point, he was going to make that decision. And I give Oklahoma City credit. You got players in return for him, but those players have not been able to pan out so far for this basketball team. So, in essence, they had to reconfigure things, and so far, so good. Anthony Morrow has been really good as a shooter off the bench. They moved Reggie Jackson, who's a cancer on this basketball team. They moved into Detroit, and now they seem to be of one mind and of one sound body as a basketball team. But I'm with you, Alyssa. I wonder how much regret when they see James Harden and what he's doing in Houston. They're going, he would have been a dude. This would have been our version of the triplets along the lines of Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin when you had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden in Oklahoma City.
Having a good time going one-on-one with Freddie Coleman of ESPN tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And give some love to LeBron James. Is he getting overlooked a little bit in this MVP race?
Yes, because you know why? I think a lot of people have LeBron fatigue. It was the same way with Michael Jordan, where he could have won the MVP every year, Alyssa. But one year, Charles Barkley went to Phoenix because he got traded. They went 62 games, had the best record in the NBA. They got to the NBA Finals. LeBron's greatness continues, in my opinion, to be taken for granted because you don't realize how special he is night after night. Going to a different basketball team, trying to make them a winning basketball team. And Cleveland right now, for my money, is the second-best team in the Eastern Conference behind the Atlanta Hawks. When you have greatness like that, it's easy to take it for granted because your eyes are so used to seeing it. Oh, LeBron had 31 tonight. Oh, big deal. You know, that standpoint. Oh, LeBron had 40 tonight. Oh, big deal. When he fails, then people magnify it when you don't make free throws down the stretch like we saw in that game versus the Houston Rockets on national television. People are going to magnify that a lot more than the successes that he's been able to have with the Cleveland Cavaliers. To me, he's playing as well as he's ever had in the NBA. But because I think there's so much LeBron fatigue, I think we lose sight of how great he continues to be night after night, not just at one end of the floor, but all ends of the floor, passing, shooting, defending, leading. He's done that probably better in his career this year than he's ever had in his NBA career.
I'll tell you what, my future MVP is Anthony Davis, and we are flat out of time. We'll have to get into that in our next conversation. What a pleasure to have you with us tonight. Freddie Coleman of ESPN with us tonight at YSR. We got to step aside. Much more straight ahead. Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios here in Houston, Texas at Yahoo Sports Radio. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. Well, in tonight's show, we already opened things up. We've hit on some NFL. We've had some MVP NBA talk. And right now, we are going to transition. Let's head on over and shine the spotlight on the San Antonio Spurs. I think it's fair to say that they certainly have had their fair share of struggles, especially in the first half of the season. Over the past few weeks, at times, they've played really well. We don't know what happened exactly on Tuesday night, that four-point loss to the Knicks. But Coach Pop, he certainly lit into his Spurs, and we want to find out what exactly is going on. So it's such a pleasure to have joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. That is from Project Spurs, the co-founder, Jeff Garcia. Good evening. It's nice to have you with us.
Hello there. How are you doing? And thanks again for the invite.
Oh, it's always wonderful to catch up with you. I'll see you next, Friday night, as I'll be there with the Mavs and checking out that action. But first and foremost, get the listeners updated on the Spurs. Just kind of an overall summary of how you think the season has played out so far and where they are at this point, because the countdown's on, the race to the playoffs.
That is right. And the Spurs are staring at pretty much trying to climb up that Western Conference ladder, hoping to get a higher seed. Right after the All-Star break, it looked like the Spurs were back. They went on a six-game winning streak. Granted, they were beating kind of the cream puffs of the NBA, but nonetheless, it was at least a start of something that was good. They had a very up-and-down first half of the season. They were hit hard with injuries, and finally, the team came together. They finally had the projected starting lineup back, and it looked like things were good to go. Six games in a row. They lose that heartbreaker to Cleveland in San Antonio, where Kyrie went supernova on the Spurs.
Right.
And handed them a loss, which snapped the six-game winning streak. And then, people then, and I was in the locker room post-game with Popovich and the crew, and they were very lighthearted. They said, look, if it took Kyrie Irving to score 57 points overtime game to beat us, you know, that's a good sign. We're really good where we're at. But then you flip the script, and then they head on out to the Big Apple, and they lay an egg. And not just an egg there. This is a rotten egg. It stunk up everything. I mean, everybody was talking about it the next day, and I think people are still reeling from that. The Spurs, they just, what can I say? They just did not show up in Madison Square Garden. They blew a double-digit lead that had Lou Alminson got to get the time bucket. And, well, that was quite the embarrassing loss. But go figure, the next day they go into Milwaukee and they beat Milwaukee, who has a better defensive team, and they pretty much walk away with a win. But as of right now, they're still trying to climb up that ladder. They're trying to get the highest seed possible. However, there is one issue, and that is the health of Manu Ginobili. He is out for 10 days after spraining an ankle.
And that has been a common theme throughout the season, just the number of injuries, the shorthanded roster. And I just want to back up a moment when you're talking about the loss against the Knicks. I mean, Coach Popovich, he didn't hold back. I mean, he said it was a pathetic performance, and he hopes every player is embarrassed. Perhaps this could even be an additional turning point for the Spurs. I mean, you're certainly going to learn some hard lessons from a game like that. You can't just sashay into a game. You've got to be ready from the start.
But this is not the first time that the Spurs have lost to a lower
team. Right, and there's consequences because of that.
Yes, exactly. They lost to L.A., you know, in San Antonio, and this is the second time they dropped the ball again against a lower-tier team. Even if you give them the benefit of the doubt, look, you didn't have Manu Ginobili, you still don't go into a game versus the Knicks and you drop one to the Knicks. I mean, they're just pretty much the laughingstock of the NBA. But knowing Popovich, he relishes these teaching moments. And this is exactly what he builds his aura of. He'll rally the troops. He'll get them going. Remember, this is the same Popovich that started last season's run to the championship by showing them Game 6 of the NBA Finals, where they blew a lead to LeBron James and the Heat. So this is definitely a turning point for him, at least as a coach. Hopefully now it'll translate on the court for the Spurs, where they won't drop another embarrassing loss. And you know, there's still kind of points of concern as I cover the team on Press Row. You know, Boris Diaw hasn't been the Boris Diaw that we saw last season. He still has struggles on the court. He's not producing as we saw that he did last season. Of course, you're beset with injuries. And then finally, Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard found their groove. Tony Parker did not look like Tony Parker in the beginning of the season. Many thought that his best days were behind him and that maybe he hit that wall. But he's coming out. He's scoring in double digits. He's leading the team. Kawhi Leonard, what can you say? You know, aside from maybe missed free throws at critical times, i.e. against Cleveland, but at least he is back. He had a series of games where he was scoring 20-plus points consecutively. He's averaging close to 5 steals a game, if not 5 steals right now. He is back to form. But the Spurs are looking good. The only thing that stings is losing games to, like, a New York or to a Cleveland and any games in between does impact them on the standings, because if a Memphis drops a game, you're looking at, or a Houston drops a game, Spurs being at 6 or 7, vaulting themselves up to 4 or even 5.
Hey, Jeff Garcia with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can check out his work at ProjectSpurs.com. Does a great job. He's an NBA blogger, and I know how much and how passionate you are about your Spurs. Of course, they captured their 5th NBA championship in the last 15 years, defeating the Miami Heat in 5 games last year. So my question to you is, are they still your favorites to defend the title? Can they still get it done?
They can get it done, but it's going to be tough. This Spurs team during the Tim Duncan, Popovich, Parker, Manu Ginobili era have never proven that they can defend or at least go deep in the postseason on the road. They've never had to face that. The closest you have is maybe 2007. But for this team to do consecutive one series after another series on the road as a lower seed, they haven't proven it. They did it one time defending their title in 2008. And they lost in the second round to Phoenix. They have a tough road to hoe. The only thing that can save them if they get a opening round series. But even at that, it's going to be tough. I mean, look at the West. It is just so packed right now. there, aside from Golden State, it really isn't that clear of a cut winner. And even then, Golden State, they need to prove themselves in the postseason. They haven't done that yet. Do they have the wherewithal? Are they battle-tested? We'll soon find out. But as far as the Spurs repeating, I would say it's about 60-40. I say 60-40. This is the Spurs, and I'm not going to do what all of us media members do and discount them at the wrong time, because much like Jason Voorhees from a horror flick, they always seem to come back and rise from the dead and charge again. And then at the end of, in June, everybody's saying, okay, next year I will never count the Spurs out. And that we always fall in that trap. So you never count out a team with Tim Duncan, Popovich, Parker, and Manu on that squad. They're battle-tested. They've seen it all. They know what it takes. They can do it. But it's going to be tough if they have to start off their defense of the title on the road for every series.
Well, and you have to count in also just the familiarity factor. I mean, the Spurs retained 14 players from last year's roster, including all five starters from last season. So that obviously is huge. One of the things I want us to get into, of course, Jeff Garcia of Project Spurs is joining us tonight at YSR. He's joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now, that is Progressive. Talk to us about the Spurs. Where do you see them defensively right now? What kind of progression are they making defensively?
They're getting there, you know. They're slowly but surely, obviously led by Kawhi Leonard, who should be at least in the mix for Defensive Player of the Year. Maybe he doesn't have the games yet under his belt because he is missing out due to injury, but he definitely needs to be in the talk discussion. He is in my opinion, a first team All Defensive Team member. So it's being led by him. The steals are up. The production is up. They're holding opponents to 100 points or less. They're not the Spurs that we used to see back in the early years of the dynasty era, but they're getting up there. But ironically, they're trying to get more done on the offensive end. They're trying to get Tony Parker going. They need him to get going. They need him to get scoring. If he's scoring in the paint and causing so much havoc for opposing teams' defense, that frees up the shooters such as a Danny Green, a Marco Bellinelli, a Matt Bonner, even a Kawhi Leonard, who does have the knack to hit the corner three. And of course, Tim Duncan as well. He's still there. The big fundamental is still producing. And I want to know whatever he's eating every day so I can have that much energy game in and game out.
Jeff Garcia has been joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, we want to encourage you to check out his work online. That is projectspurs.com. This is an amazing job. And Jeffrey, I look forward to seeing you, posting you up next Friday night as they take on my Dallas Mavericks. That is going to be a dandy, no doubt about it.
I'll be throwing some elbows your way.
Okay, I'll back you in on the block, okay?
All right, I'll see you then.
Okay, much more straight ahead tonight on Hour 1 of the Big E Sports Show right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. You stay close. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, and indeed, it has been a very big week in the NCAA tournament with it underway. So many storylines to get into that we are keeping a close watch on. In fact, a number of teams, some of the underdogs, perhaps they are going to make a deep run. And our go-to guy, my point guard, is our contributor from Slam Magazine. He is the owner and operates the five-star basketball camps. That is the great Lee Klein. How are you? I know this is your favorite time of the year, isn't it?
It's nirvana here with the tournament, and it's just so great to see so many kids and coaches you've interacted with that we had a chance to either play a role in their development or just, family, really, and they're living their one shining moment. It's just awesome. It's absolutely awesome.
Well, Lee, it is Friday night, and I know it's still a little bit early, but what have been kind of some of your takeaways from some of the games that you have had an opportunity to watch?
To me, part of it is just no matter how many times you go through this, the emotion and the drama and the contrast of styles, and how they who's going to win the chess match between styles and the finality of it all when you see seniors and it ends and just that emotion of it, the jubilation of victory and just the sheer, if you will, the ending and how, it's over and it's just so dramatic. And to me, that's what this is all about.
Well, it's such a special time of year. I have to tell you, the Campbell household, everybody, we all filled out brackets. It was so much fun. And I'll just disclose, I've picked Kentucky to win it all. Who ultimately is Coach Klein's? Who's the ultimate winner for you?
I also picked Kentucky and felt sort of dirty doing it.
Why?
Because it's I would say it's almost like threatening the history of the sport. It's almost like you're talking about history, changing history and what the tournament has meant. It's always been about the underdog. It's always been about the upset. And by picking the favorite, not only does it make it seem as if you're compromising, but on the other part is the historical impact that a Kentucky win would be, and a perfect season, a 40-0, and what that means in the history, putting that team with the best that have ever laced them up in college basketball.
Fulfilling the quest for perfection. Hey, we're going one-on-one with Lee Klein, the contributor with Slam Magazine, owner and operates the five-star prestigious basketball camps. He's joining us tonight on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. I want to back up for just a moment. I mean, we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but do you agree with the committee's decision to the top four seeds? I mean, Kentucky, Wisconsin, Duke, and Villanova.
I do. I think the committee, for the most part, did a good job. The only exception that I have is that, if you will, by putting Dayton in the first four, really seemed to me like the committee hooking up the sponsors and making sure that they had this great environment of fans and presenting this. It, to me, it really sacrificed some of the integrity of what the tournament is or should be by doing that. And that's nothing personal, nothing against Dayton. It's just I think that was more for the sponsors and for the gate than it really was about the tournament, and that's a shame.
Hey, Lee Klein, one of the things I want to talk to you about, it is this time of year, 2015 college basketball, coaching changes. It's inevitable. And some of the job openings, the hiring and the firings. I mean, I just hate to talk about that, but what are you projecting at this point?
Well, you know, the reality is every year 30 to 40 jobs change over, and this is the time every day you're reading and hearing about somebody getting fired. And it's when you're in this industry, it's very difficult. Not as much the head coaches, they get paid a good salary, but for the, you know, the change of the lives and the assistant coaches and everything, really, really dramatic. And you see it, everything from the power conferences on down. You see the Bob McKillop effect in the Atlantic 10 and what Davidson was able to do and the success so quickly, and that cost, the, if you will, Paul Hewitt and Tom Pokora their jobs, George Mason and Fordham, Alabama, you know, decided to go in a different direction. That, if you will, shows twofold. You know, be careful, because Anthony Grant, when he left VCU, was a hot property. You know, be careful on the job. When you go from mid-major to high major, really be careful as far as what job you take and what's the right fit, because you can only do it one time, and not every job's a great job. As you see, you know, Shaka Smart was able to replace Anthony Grant, just do, you know, A-OK and fine. So, but, and I think the big dominoes are yet to fall. And that, there are whispers and you hear whispers and grumblings, but nothing concrete. But don't be surprised if one of the top 10 jobs in all college basketball opens up, and not by firing, but by an NBA calling and wooing one of the real established college guys to the NBA.
Wow. Can you tell me some more?
I have no inside information. I just have this hunch that the Orlando Magic will make a real big push again at Billy Donovan and make it that much more difficult for him to say no the second time around.
Hey, Lee Klein is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We will certainly be tracking that story if that does happen. But who are some of the hot candidates that we need to know and to keep our eye on?
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, these mid-major, the mid-major to the high major is always been one path. I think Steve Brom from Murray State will be talked about as a viable candidate for a bunch of jobs. I think you're going to see Jared Haas' name be bantered about as well from UAB. And as we know, in state, there's a big job that's open there. Jared, you know, has the Carolina connection behind him as well. And then you've got assistant coaches like a Chris Caputo at University of Miami, who's just been, you know, a great assistant coach and probably shown that he's ready for that next jump. Chris, of course, was with Coach Larrañaga at George Mason as well. And coincidentally, something's open there. So who knows? Maybe that'll be the right opportunity. You never know. But, again, choosing the right job, that feeling that it's a fit and having that administration that connects with you is critical. But those are some of the guys I think will get long, hard evaluations and thought about as these things continue to progress.
March Madness is here, and we are breaking it all down right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Let's shift now our focus and talk about some of the top players in the NC2A tournament. Who is the best big man in the country, Lee?
Oh, you know, I think it goes back to the, you know, there's a three-headed monster when you talk about big man. You have Frank Kaminsky, who's really a big man body, but not necessarily post player. Just Frank Kaminsky from Wisconsin, who's my pick for the National Player of the Year, who I believe will win the Wooden Award. Then you have Karl Anthony Towns at Kentucky as a post player for both sides. What he does defensively as well as offensively. And then you have Jahlil Okafor, who offensively the best as far as in the post, and defensively trying. But, you know, you're talking about three top 15 picks in the draft and three guys that have led their teams to great heights throughout the season.
You know, talking about Frank Kaminsky with Wisconsin, a seven-footer, he's got a little bit of an international flavor to his game. I mean, he's got the ability to stroke it from long range, 40% from three-pointers.
He, and really, when you think about the NBA today, it's such a big factor, the ability to go and stretch. You know, everything now is post guys that could bring the defenders out and stretch the court and be able to go. And, you know, even like the Serge Ibaka influence, you know, where Serge Ibaka, when he first came in the league, really wasn't a guy that, you know, shot the ball 18 feet out, but that's what he does now. That's where the league has progressed. So Frank Kaminsky fits in really well when you consider now the spacing that it's necessary in order for guys to score in the NBA and allow for great players to operate.
Well, he certainly posts some nice numbers, 18 points per game, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, and I like his upside, no doubt about it. Hey, Lee Klein, the contributor with Slam Magazine and owner and operates the 5-star prestigious basketball camps, has been with us tonight at YSR breaking down March Madness, and enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Lee.
It'll be great. Thanks so much.
Okay, much more straight ahead at YSR. Stay close.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.